Graphic Audio presents an original story of James Axler's Deathlands. Deathlands number 133, Grim Choices. They were on what once was the driveway of a single-story ranch house. Everyone had their sidearms at the ready. There was a collapsed shed to one side and back from the house, with tall, weedy-looking plants sprouting from inside, and in front of it, a rusted-out flatbed truck with no tires. Facing the front of the house, it looked like a car garage on the left had been converted to bedrooms, the bedroom windows still intact. On the right side of the house was an enclosed veranda, with a few glass panes still unbroken. The house itself had dirty and faded yellow siding and a sporadically perforated but still mostly intact green shingled roof. The front door was closed and mottled with mildew.
I'd say no one's living here.
Except for the closed door.
Doesn't have to mean anything. Doc and I'll do a walk around.
Very good.
The two returned in less than a minute.
There's a door inside the porch or whatever that swung open to the outside, but I couldn't really see anything inside. That side of the house is all in shadow.
There is also a cellar whose door handles have been braced with a thick metallic cylinder rather than a conventional lock.
Looked like an old drive shaft.
Braced? As if to keep something in rather than out?
That certainly was my impression.
How long would you say it's been that way?
Probably not years, I'd guess, but hard to know.
There were no discernible footprints in the earth around the cellar doors.
Okay, we'll check it out. But let's go inside the house first. Well, somebody locked the door.
Somebody, some when?
Didn't want somebody, something getting in.
Cover me. Flashlights.
A while back, the companions had acquired rechargeable wind-up flashlights that they kept ready charged at pretty much all times. Jack had lost his on a cornerstone mission some time ago, but the rest still had theirs. They held the lights in backhand fashion, braced under their gun wrist, and aimed in the same direction as their barrels. Ryan went in first. The living room had once been lit by candles and lanterns. It had been sparsely furnished, with decomposing ancient sofa and other assorted items. There were other things in the room whose decomposition had been more fully accomplished. Two partially dismembered skeletons lay on the floor. There was no odor of rotting flesh. All of that had quite evidently been eaten.
Wolves?
Maybe. They come in the back door?
Or a window.
There was a shotgun flung nearby, and JB's scanning flashlight revealed a spray of scattershot holes in the ceiling.
Look here.
Where Doc shone his flashlight, there were dark reddish-brown stains that were smeared impressions left by heavy feet. The feet of a quadruped that had five long toes with nails sharp enough to leave clear scratches in the wood. A curving smear trailing between the prints indicated the possibility of a wide tail.
Not a wolf, then.
Doc's flashlight beam followed the prints to the back door. The door angled drunkenly outward onto the veranda, its hinges broken but still keeping the door from falling. The door was not designed to swing outward.
I'd say this is the way the creature got out, not in.
Back here.
Christie's flashlight illuminated the floor in a small back bedroom. There was a gaping hole torn in the floor. A bed was knocked to the side, its mattress spilled. Ryan noticed the frame on the bedroom doorway was splintered in places.
Something wicked this way came.
I'm betting that hole leads to the cellar.
Christie's flashlight beam reflected off water.
It looks like the whole bottom of the cellar is flooded.
The others started to gather around.
Careful. The floor here doesn't feel...